Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I did, other than not being able to get the video from Senator Sinema, want to thank our colleagues, Senator Klobuchar and Blunt, for their hard work on getting this system set up so our committee and other committees in the Senate could participate this way. This has been a great experience and great work by the people who are working the audio and video. So thank them for all of that. I wanted to go back to Mr. Fanning. I started at my opening round of questioning this issue about the supply chain and losing a workforce that is hard to replace. One of the things that has come up in the implementation of the CARES Act is that the definition of national security has limited the applications. I think for all of us who have been thinking about these issues for some time, we think of lots of things as part of national security. We didn't specifically mean you actually are producing X number of product for, as a defense contract. I mean, in general, we think that airlines and having an airline sector is part of national security. So what do we need to do to fix that element of the language? Or what do we have to do to clarify? Because we were clear. And so we're definitely going to communicate to Treasury about this.
Well, I think, thank you for that question. There were a number of issues that probably precluded companies from accessing that money. The rules came out rather late on that one, later than most, and companies were only given a week to apply. That caused some problems. But I think the main problem is what you highlighted. It was a very narrow definition of national security. It was what they call, rather wonky, a DX designation, which really limited it very severely and left out a lot of companies that anybody would argue are doing national security work. But DOD and Treasury are working on that right now and refining that definition. So I think we'll make some progress on that and make those funds available to a larger pool of companies that are very clearly doing national security work.
So if you're part of the supply chain for commercial aviation, should that be part of the national defense?
I think so, absolutely. The supply chain is shared. And a lot of companies want a foot in both sides as a risk mitigator, and that's important. It's great, but we are worried about the impact on the commercial side, what the commercial side might have on the national security side. And so I don't think that you should require a company to be doing 100% national security to have them be critical as a part of the defense industrial base.
Thank you. And what do we do about the health care? Do you support us doing something to help further the health care of laid off aerospace manufacturing workers in this time period?
I do, and a number of our companies, we're first and foremost focused on not losing the workforce for all the reasons you mentioned in your question. But when it comes to that, many of the companies are extending benefits, giving extended periods for the benefits. But we would look for some help to help those people who no longer have their jobs as a result of this pandemic. The market is contracting, and we're looking for ways to ride through that, but it's going to be a difficult journey.
And can you just explain that a little bit more? Because I think people think, well, of course people would want to go back to aerospace. But the point is, if you lose your job in aerospace manufacturing now, and you have 1 month of health care from your employer, you can under their COBRA system, and then you could yourself purchase another year, or I think it's 12 months of that. But do you have the $2,000 or whatever the benefit is to purchase that? If you don't, you're going to not hang around and wait for the aerospace job to come back. Maybe I'm explaining it for you, but anyway, I want to emphasize how critical it is that if we want to retain these workers and retain them being able to help us again in aerospace, which is a very competitive environment, that we need to do something about healthcare.
Absolutely. I think you got most of it. These are highly sought after workers. And if we can't keep them employed in the aerospace industry, others will want to come after them, obviously. They're highly skilled, they're highly trained, and other industries that might be able to ramp up faster than we would be attractive and have jobs available, perhaps. On the defense side of our industry, for example, some of the companies are hiring through this. So there are places out there that are hiring, and we want to make sure we retain that workforce because this is an industry that is an important economic driver for the country in many ways. It's leveraged in terms of the economic activity that it engenders, but it also is an important part of our global competitiveness.
Thank you. If I could, Mr. Chairman, just quickly, Dr. Godwin, would you give us your response about the temperature issue? I went to China, I think maybe 10 years ago, after H1N1, and was tested before I could be let into the country. Where do you think temperature checks play into the equation of aviation, even if it's on the international arrival side?
Yeah, I think that, you know, temperature checks, again, coming back to this concept of a net, we want to have a bunch of different reinforcements. It's not like one thing is going to be key to protecting people. And the temperature checks are a way to identify those people who are really active cases of either COVID-19 or some other infectious disease. So it's a great way to identify probably some really high-risk people. What we've seen with this disease, though, is that not everyone runs a temperature. And there are people who are asymptomatic who are still transmitting. So it's one piece of the puzzle. But perhaps not, you know, it should only be one part of what we're doing. It's not a quick fix. I would also like to say really basic things like hand washing are super effective. So we want to make sure that we're providing people with opportunities to keep themselves safe as well.
Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to this last point about what is it going to take to get the public going again, somebody mentioned it, one of our witnesses, I would say it's listening to Dr. Godwin and the healthcare officials. That's what's going to convince the public when they say if these standards are here and this is what will make us safe, that's where we need to start. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.